1st June 1893 CE 927 by Deputy Abdullah Atam. You're saying that according to me, Jesus Christ stayed devoid of divinity for 30 years is merely wishful thinking. I only stated that he had not come to occupy the office of the Messiahship till then. And this is true. Everything else you have mentioned is superfluous. To be devoid of limitlessness is not permissible for anyone, let alone that Jesus Christ should have been devoid of it. The relationship that the second person of the Trinity has with humanity is through Christ. Although the second person of the Trinity was with the divinity, he was not the Messiah until he reached the age of 30. What does the manifestation of Allah mean, and for what purpose have these words been used? In my opinion, it means the place of the manifestation of Allah for the sake of the office of the Messiah. So then why do you argue over this matter? The Holy Spirit descended to testify that this is the Son of God. And God said, I am pleased with him, not so that he could come and enter into him. Number two, the answer to your second issue is that you can say whatever you like, but you have not answered my question of how the demand of justice has been fulfilled. If your statement means that the demand of justice is nothing, then we cannot agree with you regarding this primary truth. Number three, you puzzle me when you say that compulsion is not proven from the Quran. You do not pay attention to the words in that verse in which it is written, they say, do we have any hand in the government of affairs? And in reply to this, it is said, say, all affairs are in the hand of Allah. And I can give many Quranic verses regarding this case. But there is no need. Then, your belief that is written here, وَالْقَدْرُ خَيْرُهُ وَشَرُّهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, that good and evil come from Allah the Almighty, this inference is chosen from the Quran. The commentary you have written about the verses of the Gospels is not correct. I have stated that evil is permitted by God. In other words, for permissions and privileges, that is the limit of it, within which there is no mention of heaven or hell. Scarcity and excess of convenience and ease within the world are mentioned. So why do you say that they are similar to the Quran? What I say is that the Quran teaches both coercion and destiny, but both these cannot exist in harmony with each other, together. Instead, they negate each other, just as saying that you have a choice and you do not have a choice are clear opposites. Number four. Regarding the trial of our Lord Christ, where Satan tested humanity, I fail to understand what you mean. Nothing is apparent at all. What do coercion and destiny have to do with this? I do not understand why your example of the Son is appropriate here when you say that God Almighty, who is the first cause, attributes the actions of the secondary causes to himself as well. I do not understand why he does it. What need is there for this? The actions of the secondary cause can be attributed to the first cause when there is some share of the first cause in them also. The first cause made a person capable of free will. Free will in itself cannot be held accountable until something results from it. It is therefore in reality not bad either, but rather good, and if the primary cause were to interfere in it, then it would negate the act of granting free will. This is in itself far from his purpose of bestowing free will. We have explained why the heart of Pharaoh was made hard. We have already explained this, that he was not stopped from committing evil, and God lifted his hand of grace from him. Thus his heart was made hard. Thereafter God did nothing in this, but did not permit to stop it. We call this permission. And this is the metaphorical expression that they were not given eyes to see or ears to hear, which means that while having eyes and ears, they could not see or hear, but God Almighty did not stop them. Similarly, metaphorical language is used when a father says to his child angrily, "May you die." This does not mean that he desires that he should die, but in fact, he is upset with his actions. Number 5. I saw that the question was short and there was enough time for two, so I asked two questions. You can answer whenever you wish. We will not hold it against you that you did not answer the question immediately, and then when you will desire an answer, we will repeat it also. Number 6. You ask, where is the mention of atonement in the promises that Christ has mentioned in Matthew chapter 5? I am very much surprised by this. Am I to understand that all subjects must be gathered together in one and the same place? If it is not mentioned here, then it is mentioned in many other places. And we have given these references many times. It was your responsibility to prove that atonement is refuted in them. Why are you placing your burden of providing proof on others? Number 7. It is good if you have refuted the issue of mercy without recompense from the law of nature, Quranic verses, and holy books, because when these matters are published, everybody will be able to see it for himself and judge it. Repeating the arguments that we have given regarding this would be like churning water. Number 8. Until this issue of the Trinity that we have presented with arguments is refuted with sound arguments, we will not give it any attention. You have made it your habit of repeating an issue, but failing to give any attention to its evidence. Number 9. I feel disappointed that you do not reply to my questions, nor do you pay any attention to my replies. Till today, the question remains unanswered whether you believe that Gabriel came to Mary or not, as mentioned in the Gospels, and whether the birth of Christ was a miracle or not. But you have paid no attention to these matters. Signature English, Henry Martin Clark, President, representing Christians. Signature English, Ghulam Qadir Fasih, President, representing Muslims.